So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're gonna get hard.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 99 in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ah, that's right, baby. Clap it up as we're in the building here, baby. Having a good time here, Buffalo Wild Wings, here in Spring. Make your way on out here as we'll be here till 6 o'clock. And we're going to have ourselves a great time. Shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings, also to Bud Light. The Bud Light girls just arrived too, Tyler.
Ladies!
I just saw them. They just arrived. And
how
they
we
are,
doing?
They're going to help us have a good time here as well. And, again, shout out to Bud Light, who they help us put this together each and every week. Good food, good drinks. And if you're in the building or on your way, we're going to start with our raffle coming up in this hour, all right? A projector. Somebody's going to win a projector in this hour. We also got an autographed football from Payne and Pendergast, all right?
Little show grab, huh?
Pendergast, right, and
man.
Payne.
Get the Duke with Payne and Pendergast. Seth Payne, a 10-year vet, baby. Yeah, Sean Pendergast, the face, one of the faces of Sports Radio 610, you got a chance to win that. So we'll be doing that throughout the show. All you got to do is grab a raffle ticket and give yourself a chance to win throughout the show here. All right, Clint, we just heard from Nick Caley, and a lot to say here. And listen, Nick has starting to get some positive conversation about him. We've talked about his improvement over the last month. It's not, I don't think, a coincidence that in this four-game winning streak, that I think this is probably the best that people have felt about the Texans' offense, both
the arrows pointed up
in the fan base and outside of it. But he spoke a few times, talked about the matchup coming up with Steve Spagnuolo, the great defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. What did you hear? What do you think jump out to you coming from Nick Caley today?
Well, he's got an answer for everything. I mean, there ain't no doubt about that, and it's lengthy, but. I thought the O-line stuff, as we're talking O-line heavy today, I thought the O-line stuff was really good, man. Now I would ask, and I'm not being negative, I'm just being critical, right? I mean, it's like, I would ask what took so long, because it seems like.
What part in particular?
Well, two different things. Is two things that most offensive linemen, it's like guys didn't just get to the league and all of a sudden become 340 and be an offensive lineman. Most offensive linemen have played that position for a long period of time. The inability, and I've talked about it before, now they're starting to do it well. I talked about it for multiple years now. This team's inability or unwillingness to double team and two guys get on one guy and move them physically has blown my mind. The unwillingness or inability to do that has blown my mind. Now they're doing it better, and that is in large, that's a big reason why the run game is significantly better. And I said that before it even got better. I said, look, I don't know what's going to happen, But the double teams inside, these guys are committing to double teams. They're not coming off early. They're focusing on two guys moving one, and it's creating some space inside for the running game or some space in the pass game. So that I thought was really interesting because he talked specifically about – he was asked what – you know, this offense is getting a lot of love. They're playing better. Why is that? And he spoke specifically about the double teams and executing the double teams. And I think it's real. You know, the other part of it is settling on these five.
Yeah.
You know, there's installing an offense takes time. But the takes time part of it typically is these are the five best guys we've got. And now they've got to learn the offense. And it seems like there was an extended period of time where you were committed to Lakin Tomlinson, you're committed to Juice Scruggs, you're committed to these guys that just flat out for whatever reason weren't able to get it done. And now, hell, Lakin Tomlinson's not even on the team, and Juice Scruggs is buried on the depth chart. So I love hearing about it. I'm glad they've settled on these five. I love what we're seeing in this offensive line getting better. The question is like, damn, it takes a little while to install an offense.
Maybe they needed some time to know what they had.
Did you need that much time to realize that Lakin wasn't even good enough to be on a team?
Yeah.
You know, that Juice is, you rotated him and gave him every opportunity under the sun early in the season for multiple games, half the season. Did you really need that to figure out that he's not a starting offensive lineman in this league?
And they say no.
So it's interesting how long it took, but I am stoked about where they've landed.
Yeah.
The offensive line stuff I think was the most in.
But I think it is. I don't think it's a coincidence that the offense is looking much better right now when the offensive line has probably looked from a consistent standpoint the best we've seen it in the DeMeco era. I think there's an argument there that. You know, these last few weeks, it's looked the best. Now, are we 100% sold that, you know, it's – I'm 100% sold that they're not going to be a travesty like they were at times last year where they just don't give you a chance. That, I think that's a big difference in particular with this game. The last time they played the Chiefs, they just didn't have a chance at times up front. I believe they gave up 8 sacks in that game. And then at the end, like they just—I mean, they just couldn't—they couldn't handle anything. I'm confident we're not going to see that again. Now we'll see what they do when they face better defensive lines. And I don't think necessarily this week is a better one. I mean, Chris Jones is there, but outside of that, they've struggled. Well, but no, it is definitely moving in the direction where you can absolutely win with this, and they're showing you can do that against good teams.
Well, the challenge this week is a unique one, and Chris Jones is going to get a lot of the talk, and rightfully so, he should. But really, we've seen this offensive line not completely remove good players from a box score, but making them really non-factors in a game. We saw it with Simmons earlier in the year with the Titans. And so, and I know. Look, Chris Jones is in a different. I think probably in a different.
No, they're probably about the same right now.
Well, I mean, but Chris seems to make a little more. Anyway, the point is like him in a vacuum doesn't overly concern me. Yes, it's a problem. You can commit some assets to him and try to figure it out. But game plan wise, but the part that is interesting is you got him being in the middle, and then you've got Spags who is really good at. However you want to slice it, bringing A-gap pressures, whether it's safeties or linebackers or an end twisting in, like finding a way to attack the quarterback from the shortest point to where he's at in that interior A-gap pressure. And that is what the Texans didn't have an answer for the most part last year. Now, I know they struggled some tight ends, blocking edge rushers kind of deal, but that was all an attempt to try to squeeze the A-gap kind of thing. So they got to figure out that part of it. I'm less worried about – you're not going to figure out Chris Jones. He's going to whoop your ass sometimes. You have to deal with it. The part they got to figure out is schematically, you know, how do you handle what all Spags can throw at you? How are you going – and you can't block everybody all the time, but when you –
that's going to be the dilemma this week is there's – They're going to walk up about 4 or 5 guys,
yeah.
And you don't know who's dropping. Yeah. You don't know who's
that. Well, that's been the type of defense that gives the Texans fits. You get a team that's active at the line of scrimmage and bringing defenders up and back and rotating. You can't figure out who's coming, who's the Mike, who's the safety, who's where, and that creates confusion. It creates confusion before the ball's ever snapped. It makes you hold the football late. It forces you to get out of the huddle earlier so you can do different things. So it changes the game consistently. I mean, in a big way. And so are the Texans prepared for it, and do they have the answers for Spags is more of the question that I have for this week.
We'll see. We'll see coming up. It was good to hear from Nick Cayley, though. I did want to run this thought by you because I think there are a lot of people within the last 4 weeks. We've seen what Davis Mills was able to do while he was in there, and now C.J. Stroud is back. And I think there's a lot of comparison within the two because we saw a positive success from Davis Mills, and you got to just see something to compare C.J. to. But there are a few things that I'm seeing a lot of people text in, message, see that about questions about Davis Mills and maybe things that he may do better or have been improvements over C.J. Stroud. I want to run it through you to see how much you agree with this. Do you see this as accurate? Like, okay. I saw some people text in that Mills goes through his progressions and sees windows better than C.J. Stroud. How real is that? How much do you see that as something that is accurate between those two?
Oh, I don't think it's accurate. I think Mills doesn't have a choice. C.J. does. Mills has to have the ball out on time. Mills has to get the ball out of his hand when the window's at its widest. If he's throwing to the sideline, it's got to be up early with air because he doesn't have the ability to drive the ball the same way C.J. does. So yeah, I think whether it's because CJ can't or CJ's skill set allows him not to be, at the end of the day, I think Mills goes through progressions and sees windows better than CJ at this point.
You said that. Mills has to and CJ does. What do you mean?
Well, I mean like the slant for 21 yards last week to Nico Collins. The only way Mills throws that ball is if he puts his foot in the ground right now and lets it rip and hits him in the chest right out of the break. So he is seeing that and processing that quicker. Where CJ takes a drop step, looks left for some reason. I don't know if he's trying to move the linebacker or not, but then he comes back and he throws it, and the outside linebacker almost gets a hand on it. So it became a much closer play from incomplete to complete because CJ took too long to get there, right? And so for whatever reason, you know, that seems to happen. Now, I think it's because CJ knows he's got the arm ability to do those things.
Where he may try to look at something else that may come open.
Maybe it's manipulating the linebacker or manipulating the safety. He's trying to do more where Davis Mills knows, I can't do that. I can't get away with that. I got to get this football out. And so, yeah, I would say that right now when it comes to going through progressions, seeing windows in coverage, I think they're both really good at it, but I think one guy has to be great at it in order to survive. The other one can get away with doing some of the more difficult things in the game.
With that, and I've seen this too, kind of going off of that, you think Davis Mills is a better processor than CJ?
I think he's a more willing processor. I don't think he's better. I've seen CJ be an elite processor. I don't think it's not easy.
Which is big in this offense, right?
Yeah. I think CJ's ability to process defenses, I think, is really, really good. The question is, we've talked about this many times, the question is, will he commit to it? Again, another one of those deals where CJ's talented enough to where he doesn't have to commit to it. Davis Mills knows better than to even try to get away with not committing to it. You know what I mean? So there's a difference there that from a processing standpoint, I think Davis Mills is more committed to being – going through the processing and being very mechanical, and where I think C.J. Stroud likes to live on the edge a little bit and take more risk, if you will. So I don't think he's a better processor. I think he's a more willing processor.
Because he has to be, right?
Yep. That's what you say. Absolutely.
Because he has to.
Absolutely. You know, like there was a throw to Christian Kirk that was caught that C.J. Stroud threw late to the right. It ended up getting called back for a penalty, but it was one of those where Davis Mills would have threw it before he ever came out of his break, committed to it and threw it before he ever came out of his break. Well, CJ was over here jacking around trying to look at a different route down the field and then came back and threw it over there late. Whereas, you know, one guy, before the ball was ever snapped, completely eliminated this crap over here and just went to the easy completion. It took C.J. a while to get there. I think that's by choice. I don't think that is a, well, C.J. can't process. I think he chooses to do that. Now, again, the question is with this offense is can he commit to doing more of those things of just eliminating certain routes and throwing, taking the easy completions?
Yeah. All right. We'll continue here. As we said, you got a chance to win some prizes if you're in the building or on your way. Make sure you get in our raffle, get your ticket in our raffle box, as we will do that coming up. First winner is going to come in this hour. There again, there you go. The Bud Light girls, they're around now. So come on out and enjoy yourself on this beautiful Thursday, this beautiful thirsty Thursday out here. Buffalo Wild Wings, the spring location off of Grand Parkway. So come on out and have a good time with us. Coming up, we've talked a lot about on the field, which I think that's a big key in this game. But what about the other side? What about the potential mental part of this game? We'll discuss that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's a thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 99 in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. The Drive is live. Live Buffalo Wild Wings, and it is going beautifully, and you could be a part of it. Come on out, have a good time with us as we are here in spring, having, as we usually do on a thirsty Thursday, a good time. Shout out to Bud Light, shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings, holding it down and helping us put this together. Your chance to win prizes. We're going to hook somebody up with the first giveaway coming up as soon as this segment ends. The first one as soon as this segment ends. We were just talking about some of the perceived things that people feel Davis Mills does better, Clint. Someone texted in, imagine if CJ would just take easy completions more often. Oh, okay. But listen, I know that sounds good, and to be honest with you, I think CJ does a pretty good job of it. But your excitement level about CJ that rookie year was not because CJ just – always just took easy completions.
Are we going to get
the combination is, boy, he's taking what they give him, but damn, when you need to go make a play, or you need a big boy throw, or he can fit throws in that many others can't, he makes that throw. And it is not just for checkdowns. I think sometimes checkdowns are a great thing, and I think he does it in this offense. But sometimes you need a little bit more, and that's why you go and get CJ where they got him.
Well, to be clear, processing is not all about easy completions and checkdowns.
Yeah.
You know, so often when I talk about it, we talk about it, that's what we're referring to. But it's not. A big part of processing is eliminating half the field pre-snap based on something you saw, whether you know that side of the field is not a good concept, or you recognize that the other side of the field is the better concept to go to. It's, you know, processing is, hey, man, they're disguising the hell out of all their coverages, but I know I've watched enough film. I've seen this corner, when he sits inside like that, they're going to roll to some kind of two, so I got the corner over the top. Processing as well, you know, getting to the line of scrimmage and figuring out, you know, who's coming and who's not coming and directing traffic. That's processing as well. So it's not about just always taking easy checkdowns. It's there's a lot that goes into it. And your more talented guys, we're watching Pat Mahomes right now, right here in Buffalo Wild Wings, Kansas City, and Dallas. I mean, if you want to just watch his film and take his name off the back of the jersey, there's a lot of checkdowns that he could go immediately to, but he plays the game on the edge, and he plays a little bit looser and a little bit more risky brand of quarterback than most do. And
I don't think CJ plays risky. Like, I don't.
No, I don't.
I know you're, I don't, not, think, but I'm just saying the way. Like, imagine if he took some of the.
Yeah,
I don't think he plays risky.
I don't think he plays overly risky. I do think that he battles with the aggressive approach to football that he knows he's capable of playing, and the ultra conservative brand that DeMeco and Nick Cayley want him to play. I do think that he struggles with the thought of stay ahead of the chains. Boy, don't hold the ball here. Don't you risk taking a sack because it's going to put us behind the chains. You know, I do think he struggles. Now, the question is it because he's young, or is it because he's bullheaded? Is it ever going to be a good fit, or is it not? Is it a hey, there's a better offense to fit him or not? Like, all of that is yet to be seen. It's not as much of a negative conversation as a lot of people want to make it out to be, of one guy's smart and one guy's not. No, there's inexperience involved. There's just solid reps that are involved. There's abilities that one guy has that, like if I were still playing, like, I would have to be a really conservative dude, and I would greatly appreciate
that. I was going to say, there's skill level that also determines
a guy like Davis doesn't even think about making certain throws, where C.J. Stroud can make them jokers in his sleep. So it's a different approach, and it's all – there's a lot that goes into that processing word. So many times it just gets – it gets watered down to, oh, one guy's smart and the other one's not, or one guy can, you know, it's just, that's not the conversation.
Yeah, no, yeah. The quarterback he's playing this week, like, yeah, you'd like him to calm some of the stuff down at times.
Yep.
But some of the stuff that he is able to do is why he has separated himself.
Well,
the
interesting thing with Mahomes, and you can attest to this following him so closely, is, like, I don't know. I don't follow him game to game, so I don't know game to game. But I know year to year what he's done over his career is manage, you know, hey, this year I know with this offensive line or this set of skilled guys, I can go out and play this brand of football. Now, okay, we don't have those guys, or those guys are injured. We're going to have to run the football a few more times, and I'm going to have to be more conservative offensively. I'm going to play a different brand of quarterback. He, big picture, has managed that in a really impressive way, you know, obviously because they've won three, but in a really impressive way. They've won three, yes, but they've won three with kind of different approaches to offense every year. And managing that has been impressive.
He's done better where I don't think he'll let – what Josh Allen allowed happened to get himself sacked eight times.
Yeah.
Probably four times.
It's funny,
but maybe not eight.
It's funny you mentioned Josh, because when you're talking about, like, Josh is a guy that his whole career has really struggled with it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we seen Josh Allen go into this conservative, you know, we're going to play a different brand, and then all of a sudden he gets sacked eight times? or all of a sudden he has a 6 or 7, 8 game stretch where he throws a bunch of picks and people are like, oh, here, Josh Allen's back.
Yeah,
the numbers are great. He's throwing for a bunch of yards and touchdowns, but also the interceptions, and they don't control the ball. And so, I mean, you talk about a guy that is like crazy talented, but has like the conversation we're having about struggling with what does the offense look like year to year and how does he facilitate that? He is a all gas, no break guy. That's how he wants to play. Whether that's driving the football down the field or it's taking all the risk and taking a bunch of hits and getting sacked 8 times. He's an all gas, no break guy. Right? And he's struggled with that his whole career. Now he's uber talented and won a lot along the way, but he's a guy that struggled with, I would say, processing the big picture of what winning offense looks like.
Text line coming through. CJ has an issue trying to force big plays too early in games. Ron's wrong. CJ needs to get back to doing the simple things savagely well like he did his rookie year. We haven't seen that CJ since because he's trying hard to go deep with the ball. While exciting, I want to win. Bring back doing simple things savagely well and being okay with the boring. I just think that you're imagining things that you want to be. You go back and watch that Colts game. You tell me how many times he fired the ball down the field. Now, maybe you remember the pick. But, like, I'm going to tell you right now, Captain, he took what the defense gave him. You don't lead the league in passing yards per game. Not just overall, but per game. Lead the league in passing yards with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Burrow like he did his rookie year by just being born all the time. I mean, he made big plays. Is he going to compare to Davis Mills, as Clint has explained? Is he going to take more chances or believe in himself for bigger plays to develop? Sure. But let's not act like C.J. Stroud is somebody that's like Josh. He's sitting there holding the ball to get himself sacked 8 times, regardless of he's not. He is not a reckless player to me with the ball. I think he takes more chances than Davis, or sometimes he'll try to look a little bit longer and not immediately hit the check down.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a reckless player. I just don't think he's just somebody who, oh man, he's just trying to throw it deep all the damn time. I don't get that from him. I don't see that. All right, coming up as we continue. Something that Clint said he's just over after watching the Rockets last night, and I do still want to get the thought of the potential mental part of this game coming up on Sunday.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They will do that next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 99 in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back in as we're live here. I like to let it build up, Matt. I know how to do this.
I liked how you were liking that.
I let it build up, baby.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to you out there as we are here live, Buffalo Wild Wings. Congratulations to our first winner. Still got multiple prizes for you to win as we will be here till 6 o'clock here in Spring. Come on out, have a good time. I saw the Bud Light girls walking around. Having a good time with some of our listeners here as well. And
yeah, girl.
come on out.
I think you done scared them off, man.
I ain't scared them off. They ain't look scared, man.
There they are. There they go.
They didn't look scared now.
Yeah,
look. Do it, lady.
They look like they're good to go. Shit, you ain't scared, are you? No, she ain't scared. She's not scared. She might be.
Easy.
But come on out here and enjoy yourself with us. Win prizes, get you some good food, some good drinks as well. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, please jump in on this as well. Tyler, Clint. I've been seeing this a lot. Boy, if the Texans can win, can beat the Chiefs, if they can, I think I heard Sean and Seth talking about this, those demons in Kansas City, if they can get this game, if they can win this game, that they'll feel different. The Texans will believe, like, yeah, everything's been going well, but they're losing. They don't win primetime games late or whatever, and the Chiefs, they haven't been able to solve. Do you guys get a sense that maybe the Chiefs are in their head and that this is a mental thing to overcome as much as it is a thing on the field? Do you get the feeling that the Chiefs are in the Texans' heads and this is something that they got to get over?
No, I don't think so. I think D'Amico's done a good job of building the team in a way, being mentally strong. I don't think there's a lot of that. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, they've just not been good in prime time. They've not been good against the Chiefs, you know, historically speaking. So there's some of that that's got to be, you know, you got to be conscious and aware of that and maybe be a little bit more focused. But no, I don't think right now the Chiefs are a team that's in the head of the opponent at this point in time.
I don't either. I get that from the Ravens. I think there's a mental thing with the Texans and the Ravens. But I don't get that with the Chiefs. Like, I don't get, like, in the middle of the game that the Texans are like, oh boy, here we go. When the Ravens when they play the Ravens, some reason that game, they're just a bad matchup for the Texans. And I know they beat the Silver Springs Ravens earlier this year, but they didn't have a lot of their guys. I think that still will be a thing next year when they play them. But I don't get that from the Chiefs. I know they haven't beaten the Chiefs, but Clint, I've gotten the feeling they haven't beaten the Chiefs just because they just got beat, not because, oh, here we go, yeah, or there's some sort of mental thing that they got to get over. Maybe the prime time thing or winning a big game, but I don't know if that's the case. They beat Buffalo the last couple of times they played them, and they beat Buffalo prime time. I think the Ravens are the only team that I look at to where, like, going into the game, like, there may be an advantage from a mental standpoint against the Texans, because when the real Ravens have been able to play, they've completely dominated the game. Like, I think when they played the Chiefs, and we've heard it in press conferences, I think the Texans have walked away under D'Amico. They've walked away thinking, damn, I think we could have won that game. So I feel like it's a bit different.
Yeah, look, I think we've talked a lot about how, for whatever reason, the Texans are a bad matchup for the Buffalo Bills. And the Texans have beat the Buffalo Bills multiple times. I get that same vibe in a reverse form with Baltimore, to your point, that it's just a bad matchup with Houston. I don't think there's an intimidation factor. I think it's just a bad matchup. Now, when you get to Kansas City, I just think the days are over right now, unless they return. I think the days are over of them being the team that they take the field with, and the opponent feels like they need to get outside their identity or get outside of their skin because the Chiefs can go do X, Y, and Z, or because the Chiefs are this good. Like, I think that has died off in the league over the last year. So I don't think it impacts – it's not just the Texans. I don't think it impacts any of their opponents the way it used to. So not as Texans-specific, but more about just who the Chiefs are right now.
Texans. Some text in. They're in my head. if the Texans don't beat KC this Sunday, I don't know when they will. No, the Chiefs are in the Texans fans' heads, but not the players. Maybe the case. I don't. Again, like I said, the two teams, if you look at the teams that have been the AFC at the top, the AFC, the three teams have been Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore. And for me, we've watched the Texans play those three teams multiple times in this run that D'Amico's been here in the last 2+ years. It looks different to me from the Texans when they play the Bills and the Chiefs. I don't get a when Derrick Henry starts going early. Oh God, here we go. I get that and mentally in their mind. I don't. I think they're fine. I don't think there's a mental advantage for the Chiefs in this game against the Texans.
You can argue. Now, I don't know how many conversations like this have gone on in
other cities.
Well, no, I'm just talking about as the Texans built this roster, I don't know how much of this was the focus, but you can argue that they built a roster to defeat the Chiefs. You know, when you talk about the speed in the, on the edges and be able to rush the passer, when you talk about the corners that can play man, that can be physical at the line of scrimmage, you know, you've built a monster here that by design, in theory, is going to be, if you're hitting on all cylinders, is going to be cause some real problems for an offense like the Kansas City Chiefs, who rely heavily on their quarterback holding the football a lot of the time and running around and making plays. The way that they pursue the ball, the way they're built, first of all, but then the way that they pursue the ball, the physicality, you can argue, again, I don't know if it was by design, but you can argue they're built in a fashion to really cause problems for Kansas City. And to your other point, they're clearly not built in a way to counter Baltimore with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson running downhill. They're clearly not built, even though they've had a ton of success. I don't think they're necessarily built to Buffalo with Josh Allen, if you're going to use him in the +1 run game and you're going to use your run game. They're not necessarily built for that, but for whatever reason, they've got their numbers. So I think it's a good matchup. And here's the deal. You're catching the Chiefs at a time when if you're the Texans, you typically have played up. Like you've gone to this game and you know you're playing the Super Bowl champ. You know you're playing the best in the league. They're going to win 12 or 13 games. How do you match up against them? Can you go shock the world? This is not one of those games. This is one of those games where, you got to go play in a tough environment. But you feel like you're on a very, very level playing field with the Kansas City Chiefs right now. And so I think it's a different vibe all the way around. I think this is a game where you go in there and you can, if you're being honest with them Chiefs injuries, hell, you could say let's go in there and bully these boys and show who the best team is versus let's go shock the world. So I think it's a different approach to the game overall.
Yeah. Someone texted, I do think the refs may be in our heads. That is an interesting point because in the end of the playoff game, multiple people went to the after the game of the media, including D'Amico, Will Anderson. I think Joe Mixon had initially gotten fined, and then they revoked it, talking about the officiating, and that was
the Chiefs are in bed with the refs.
I would imagine that's a big point of emphasis from D'Amico this week. Just play. Just play and not worry about that other stuff because, I mean, when they were talking about it after the game, you could clearly see it was something they were thinking about. So, again, even with that, though, I think this is a team that's matured and not in that space anymore. So, I think there is a – I don't think there's a mental advantage like some may think. Some people are talking about. I don't know that it's the hurdle that a lot of people are talking about. All right. Again, if you're on your way on out here, make your way out here. We've got a couple more hours. We're still hooking people up with prizes. Get you some food. Get you some drink. Do your thing. And if you're on your way, our guy Shay right here, he is waiting for you. All you got to do is grab a ticket, and you can be a part of our raffle and have a chance to win. We've got autographed football. We've got another projector we're going to hook somebody else up with over the next couple of hours. So come on out and have a good time. Grab you a beer, grab you whatever kind of drink. I had me a little mule. Clint's been fully dressed over here. What'd you get, Dos Equis?
No, it was a Coors Light.
Oh, Coors Light, of course it was, yeah. My fault. Fully, what was I thinking? Fully dressed, Coors Light, and it's a good time to be had out here. Come on out here. What you got coming up at the four?
Texans offensive tackle Trent Brown, has he saved the season for us all? Has he been the key to the Texans' recent success? We'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.